Okay, something I didn't deal with, and I was talking to Pastor Cindy and Terry, and we were just talking about something I had mentioned before, and I hadn't mentioned it here, but I'm going to cover it now because I think this is important, and it's how do you deal with symptoms? Amen. Amen. A lot of Christians have symptoms, and we live with symptoms, but you know, there is a truth I'm going to share with you, which we cannot afford just to live with symptoms. What we've got to do is we've got to attack symptoms. Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10? I've been going so quick this seminar. And, you know, excuse me if I've gone so quick, thrown a lot of stuff out there. But I'm trying to cover what I can in the time that we've got. In John 10:10, it's a familiar portion of Scripture. And it says, "A thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly." Is that what it says? What it really means there, abundantly, means to enjoy. In other words, God said, "I want you to enjoy the life that I've given you." Yes. Yeah, we've got it. Okay, we're back on track. Holly, my new best friend. So the distinction, there's a sequence here. In John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy," three things. "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So there's a distinction between a thief and a robber. The distinction is this, that a thief will come and pickpocket. He will just, let's say you've got a dollar in your back pocket. And the thief will come along and he may steal that $1 from you. And you only realize it afterwards. And it's not such a big deal to you because it's only a dollar, right? Right. You know, and I say that, you know, to people, that can be a lot of money. So I don't say that in a demeaning way. But you know what I mean? To most people, that wouldn't be such a big deal. Well, it was just a dollar. So you can deal with that. You'll forget about it quickly, right? So that's the operation of the thief. A robber is someone who's different. A robber is someone who will come and he'll see the dollar in your back pocket. And he doesn't care whether he kills you or not to get it. But he'll do damage to you to get it. That's the difference between a thief and a robber. Now, the devil is classified in the book of John as both a thief and a robber. But in the context of this scripture, we're looking at this in terms of the thief. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly." So this is how the enemy operates. He's described as a thief there. So the thief will come and steal stealthily. You don't even know it's gone. Pickpocket, in fact, the word that actually there means a pickpocketer or a pilferer. And this is exactly how the enemy comes regarding sickness. The enemy will come and he will operate at the level of a thief. And he will take something from you. And you might not think it's a big deal. For example, it may be a lot of people have been in the process of being thieved for their whole life by the enemy. Because if any kind of sickness at any level is not of God, which we know it isn't, then it's not for you. Is that right? Yes. Amen. It's just not for you. So the thief will come and he will pinch health from you. And it's usually at a very low level. It's something you can deal with. Oh, well, you know, I've got a little pain in my stomach, but stuff like that comes and goes. So I can deal with that. Or I get these headaches, but I can deal with headaches because I can take an aspirin or whatever you take, Advil or whatever it is here. And so I can deal with that. And so we can live a life where we are content. We're content to allow the thief to operate in our lives. And it's not a big deal because we know how to deal with it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we shouldn't, because it's the operation of the enemy. It doesn't matter what level it's at.
Yeah.
Amen. He's operating at a low level. You think you can deal with it, so you just ignore, you know, it's okay. But the enemy hates you so much that he's not content to operate at the level of a thief. He wants to operate at the level of a killer. Now, here's a surprising thing in this scripture. That word there does not mean murder. It has got nothing to do with actually physically killing you, that you die. What that word there means, to separate you from truth. Amen. In other words, you know, and this happens in the body of Christ. You can see this with people. I deal with this in my own church, and I've had to deal at different levels with people who their minds have been so, I guess, conditioned to be content with the operation of the thief. And I've had to say to them, guys, you cannot do that, because the devil is not content for you to stay at the thief's level. He wants to go to this level here, which is to kill. So what he does is, this is how it works. So, you know, you've done nothing about those symptoms. You're content to live with them. So the enemy knows that you're not prepared to do anything about it. So the next thing he'll do is he'll come along and try and separate you from God's truth regarding healing. Amen? For example, you've had this condition all your life, let's say, and you've gone up and get healed for healing, and you've never really been healed. And so in this particular area of sickness, it's a kind of no-no for you. It's kind of, you believe in tithing, you believe in everything else, you believe in prosperity, you believe in everything else. But in this particular area of healing, you kind of give up. It's, oh, well, I've tried that, been there, done that. I'm just going to give up on that. You know, and so that is a work of the enemy. So he'll come in as a thief. You think you can deal with it. He'll get to the place where you get discouraged. You're discouraged by this sickness that you've had for many, many years. And it's probably because you've never done anything at the level of stealing. In other words, the point I'm making is, as soon as any little pain comes at any level, you've got to do something with it immediately.
That's good.
Amen? You cannot leave it. Because the devil's not content just to leave it at that level. He will go to the next level, which is to kill. And that kill is to separate you from truth. So it's like, I don't know. And you could eventually not really believe that God is the healer. Because your experience is you've never been healed. Amen? This is subtle, but this is how he operates. So you kind of walk away from that and you give up on that. But then the next one here is to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's why I never understood how it was in this sequence. I thought kill should be the end, but I never understood what the word destroy meant. But the word destroy means actually to separate you eternally from God. So the successive steps. Amen? And it all starts by you and I being casual in terms of the way we deal with sickness and disease. Amen. So we have to take authority. Wait, don't stand for symptoms, man, because that's not where the devil's going to be content regarding your life. You have to be aggressive. Amen. So as soon as there's a symptom, boom, you're onto it, even though you know you can handle it. That'll change your life. Amen. So you never treat, that's the point I'm making, you never treat symptoms casually. You deal with them aggressively. Amen? Amen? All right, so that's not what I want to talk about. But, you know, Pastor Cindy mentioned, I'd mentioned it before, and I didn't mention it under the healing thing. So what I want to go on to then, and we're all over the place with this, but I want to get into emotional healing. Most people are emotionally sick. And it's a massive, massive, massive area, just in life, but especially it can be in the Christian world. And we have to deal with symptoms. Dale Carnegie said this. He says, when dealing with people, that's you and me, remember we're not dealing with creatures of logic, but with creatures of emotion. We are creatures of emotion. And emotions are a reality that have their source in the past. They have their source in the past. But you don't have to live in the past. See, the voice, I wrote this down actually last night or this morning, the voice of insecurity calls you. The voice of insecurity calls you back to the past. But the voice of faith calls you into the present, not the future, into the present. Remember the first lesson I think I taught, for which one it is, that the most important time of your life is the present, not the future. You have to get peace in the present, which secures a future for you. Jeremiah 29:11, is that right? That's what we covered. If you weren't here, then that's what I said. And that's a massive statement. You have to have your peace right now. Yes. Amen. When you go to bed at night, you thank God for the peace. I was lying in bed last night, and I just said to the Lord, Lord, I thank you for the peace that I have at this moment right now. I thank you for the peace in my mind, and I thank you for the peace in my body that I will fall asleep with. Amen. I'm not going to worry about the future. I've got to take care of the present. Because it's the present moment that God is always in. Amen. He's always in the present moment. And that's where the enemy can get us as well. If we're always focused in the future, then we may miss the the moment. And if we're always focused on the past, then you'll keep being drawn back to that place. So you can't focus on the present. Can you see that?
Yeah.
So there's two opposing things here. And it's good to plan for the future. I'm not saying we don't plan. We have to plan for the future, but we have to be present in the present.
Right.
Amen. We have to be peaceful about the present. And Jeremiah 29:11 is basically saying, if you are, then I will ensure a future for you. But we have to be careful about the past, because the devil will and this is where all the emotional stuff starts to get to us. We have to be careful of what's happened in the past, because the enemy will continually draw us back to past circumstances. You know, my son, when we came to America here, he was a very, very good swimmer. He went to nationals in America, but when he was at high school, we came from a Christian school in South Africa, and we came here, and David is a tall, 6'3". He's built like a swimmer, and he really is a good-looking boy. My wife is very good-looking. That's where the looks come from. She's gorgeous, and so he was very popular, and he was the top swimmer around in Southern California. He was number 3 breaststroker at high school, all this kind of stuff. And so, but he had an incident in it was McDonald's or somewhere. He went with his friend, and it was just one incident. And there was a group of boys came in, group of boys that had been in the high school, and they had noticed, I think, the attention that he was getting at high school or middle school, whatever it was at that time. And there was a group of about 80 of them, and they sat down in front of David, my friend. Now David's a big lad, can take care of himself, but just sat down in front of him and slapped him through the face. And basically says, what are you going to do about it? And looked at his mates. And you know, that affected David. That actually affected him for years. Even when we went to Australia, it kind of came back. It took him a while to actually overcome that incident, because there was no provocation for it. It just happened, you know? So, you know, we had to deal with that. You cannot go back to that. If you keep going back to an incident that happened that disappointed you, then what happens is everything, your whole being will start going back to the past, and you will be living in the past, and your body will start to be living in the past. Come on now. That means then that healing will be difficult for you to receive in the present. If you keep living in those emotional things in the past. Did you hear what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's massive. So the emotions are huge. Let me just see what else I want to say here. So emotions respond to some kind of external stimuli. We're bombarded with external stimuli, imaginary thoughts. They continually report what's happening, or your perception of what could happen. And how we deal with emotions massively, massively affects your health. Massively. So the Bible deals with this in terms of fruit, the fruit of emotions, in Galatians 5:19-23. And if you go through that, I'm sure you know all of this. But negative emotions are classified as the works of the flesh, and positive emotions are the fruit of the Spirit. And guess what the big one is? Love. Amen. So your relationship with God Your relationship with God is an emotional state at the highest level. Yeah? Because he's a God of love, right? So your relation, his relationship with you is emotionally charged with love. He loves you. It's an emotional thing. God doesn't think he loves you. He loves you. His whole heart is one of love. So you and I are emotionally caught up in a relationship, or we should be. We should have that revelation of love. Because if we've got that revelation of love, then we can emanate that revelation to those around us. We can be charged with that same emotional state is how God feels about us. Amen? So you can get through this. I love what it says in there. I'll just read this little bit to you for sake of time, but in the Amplified Bible it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within, is love. Is love. Unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while we're waiting. So I want you to go through all of these, and all these are emotions. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is basically emotions. Having said that, then, what we can say is this, that there is a spiritual root to every emotion. A spiritual root to every emotion. And I think we're on slide 26, Holly. What a girl you turned out to be. So emotions are connected to thoughts, right? This is where it gets weird. Thoughts produce chemicals. They actually produce these things called peptides. And then they dock onto your cells. And they get into the bloodstream. So thoughts produce chemicals. They say there that for every thought, there's a chemical produced. Chemicals produce feelings. Feelings produce emotions. And emotions affect our health. Feelings are a conscious awareness of the emotional state you're in. And the emotional state you're in depends on your thoughts. So when you change the way you think, you will change the way you feel. You can change the way you feel. And subsequently, you will affect or control your emotions. When you cannot control your emotions, you're in trouble, man. Amen? So they reckon, the medical guys tell us that you know, in your cells are renewed, I don't know how often, every 7 years or whatever it may be. But if you can imagine that these peptides would, you know, if it's a bad thought, these peptides, you know, bad peptides, will join themselves to these cells. And so the more you think negatively and the more emotionally negatively charged you are, the more of these negative peptides are going to be attached to your cells. And even when your cells are renewed, in the renewing process, what happens is there is more negative peptides because of the lifestyle of negativity that you're in or emotionally charged that you're in. That they find that there's more negative peptides will attach themselves to your cells. So even when you're renewing yourself, there's more space. The body has become so used to accepting negative charged or whatever, negative peptides or peptides that are negatively going to affect your being. So can you see the whole spirit, soul, and body thing? I mean, it's all integrated. You cannot just get away with one thing and think you're very spiritual. You know, everything is going to affect you. So you change the way you think, you will change the way you feel. You change the way you feel, you will change your emotions. When you change your emotions, you change your health. You have to be in control of your emotions. If you don't feel good, then change it. Amen? Did I share with you? I don't know if I shared this. I think I may have. If I did, stop me, someone. But I was going to go to gym the other day. Did I tell you this little story? I did. Forget it then. Okay. Okay, for you who were not here, you just missed out. All right. So what happens then? There's a cycle of stuff goes on then. So if you don't feel good, you can change it. When you start... Let me read you from the notes. When this happens, the body starts to feel the way you think. So the body will feel the way you think. And then the mind starts to think the way you feel. So it's a cycle, right? Amen. Body will feel the way you think, and it'll send signals back to your body and tell you how it's feeling. Amen. But it all basically starts up here. Remember what I said about the heart. The heart is where things are stored, where things are valued. So you must make sure that you're always emptying. Well, you don't even put any treasure in there that is negative in your heart, because it goes from here to here and then out of your mouth. So you don't want to be storing treasure. Amen. So what does this do? I'm just going through this real quick. So what does these emotions do then? These negative emotions do? They affect everything around you. Let me give you some practical examples. Emotions affect everything regarding you. Number one is they affect your choices. Emotions affect your choices. You will make the wrong choices if you're emotionally charged negatively. You will always make the wrong choices. Your decisions are heavily influenced by your emotions. Listen to this quote from a scientific paper. They said this: it has been stated that 75% of careers are derailed for reasons related to emotional competences. 75%. Including inability to handle interpersonal problems, unsatisfactory team leadership during times of difficulty or conflict, or inability to adapt or to change or elicit trust. So that is the root cause of a lot of stuff that's going on in the realm of even business. It's because of these emotionally charged state that people are in, and they don't trust, or they don't do this or the next thing. And things just become derailed. So you never make major decisions, for example, when you're upset emotionally, ever. Amen? And that's when we usually do. And we should never do that. Or when we're weak, emotionally weak, or emotionally vulnerable. You know, just take a step back and go away and think about it and pray about it. That's very difficult. You have to control that, right? I think we've all fallen. I've fallen prey to that, man. Amen? Scottish people are quite emotional. I'm not making any excuses, but they can be quite emotional. Amen? And I come from a family like that, you know? And so I had to learn. Jeez, this is not good, man. So, okay. So that's number one. They affect your choices. Number two, emotions affect your habits. Let me give you a description of habits. Emotions are the result of thought patterns that are repeated over and over and over and over and over that become habits. They become habits. A habit is a redundant set of automatic unconscious thoughts, behavior, and emotions acquired through repetition. You just keep doing it over and over and over to the extent that your body knows better how to do it than your mind. Your mind is not even in it. But most of those are redundant. In other words, they're not taking you further up the road. A habit. It's good to break the habit. I went to gym the other day, and the young lady there, you know, I talked to the people in the gym, and they know who I am and what I represent. They're always friendly to me, man. And she said to me, "Oh, you're early today, Tom." And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "You're keeping the body guessing." And I said to her, "That's a good word." Do you know what I'm saying? Because my body's used to me going in later. You get into the habit. It's good to break the habits. It's good to break habits. Amen? Because if you break the habits, you'll start thinking a little bit different, and you'll start experiencing a little bit different. If you break a habit, you'll start experiencing in a different way than you do if you just continue the habit. When you continue the habit, you do it without even thinking. Right. Yeah. Amen? I was going to give you a great example, but for me, this is a bad one. So you always go the same route to work in your car. Maybe you should go a different route, but if that's me, I'll probably get lost. So that's not a good one. But you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you know, you don't live, but start to think a little bit different. Break the habits, break the routine. Amen. Because your whole being actually starts to respond to something new. It'll force you to start thinking new. When you start thinking new, you will start, you know, creating new pathways in your brain. Amen. That's why the Word of God is always great. It's always good to look to scriptures and try and find scriptures that you've never read before, that you don't know before, you've never seen before or whatever. Look at those and meditate on those scriptures and renew your mind. Yeah. Amen. It's a new experience rather than, you know, an old one. So, cravings. Listen to this definition of cravings. I don't have them in there, but listen to cravings. This is good. Man, this is good for me. Because I like chocolate things, man. It's terrible, man. See, I'm going to blame the Scottish people again because they've got a sweet tooth, you know. I mean, honestly, every night for... Anyway, I can't make any more excuses. But listen to cravings because this is speaking to me as I stand in the moment, right here and now. Cravings, thank you, Jesus. Cravings are the body... Listen to this. I got this definition from someone. I thought, I'm taking that, man. I'm gonna get into this. Cravings are the body clinging to the past because it has been chemically and emotionally conditioned by past choices. Amen. Your body's become chemically like those sweeties. Your body's. I say, I like those sweeties. Would you call them here? Lollies. Lollies. Lollies are something we lick. Candy. Candy. It's my American accent. Candy. I'm just joking, man. Three of my grandchildren are American. It's got nothing to do with anything, but... candy. So I say... Barbara said to me, Tom, you know, and she's not a big sweetie person, but she loves Sears candy. So this particular Sears candy, I've been in there twice already. I went in last Sunday and I got some of the stuff that she liked. And I've been really good this week. I haven't had much. And I'm lying in the bed, you know, I'm just meditating and stuff. Whoa, and my mind starts to wander towards those sweeties. And that packet was lying over there just at the foot of the bed, and I'm thinking, you know what, I think I should just try one of these just to make sure that they're still the same quality. You know what I'm saying? It's the, because the American standard can go down, you know what I'm saying, with all the stuff. Just kidding. So I took one and I thought, oh geez, that was pretty good. The standard is still pretty high in America. This is good. They haven't let things slip. I'm just kidding you, man. Don't. And so I thought, well, maybe I should just try another one just for quality control's sake. And so during the week, not all at once, during the week, the packet, which only 8 pieces in it, but it was empty. So yesterday I had to go back to Sears. And so when the lady says, can I give you a free one? And I says, yeah, I'll have a free one. One of them free ones, if you could. One of the, you know, those 8 I got from my wife, give me one of those free ones. Could you do that? She says, absolutely, you know. And so I got a free one. So when I got home last night, I had just had one. So I feel I can preach this from a place of strength. Yeah. You know, and no weakness. You know what I'm saying? I really feel I can. So you got to be in control there, man. So what happens is chemically, let me get my notes, chemically and emotionally. Because this is what happened. I said, I like those sweeties. I said, I like those sweeties. And my body says, he likes those sweeties. So when I took that sweetie, my body confirmed it. Come on now, you've been there, right? You've been there. Don't get too religious on me, man. You've been there many, many times. Amen? You've been there. And so my body says, yeah, I agree with that. So you've got to break the cycle. You've got to break that cycle. Amen? So when do you break the cycle? I don't know. Do it sometime. Amen? I'll do it my next trip to America. It's up to me. So emotions affect your memory and your destiny. This is huge. Emotions affect your memory and your destiny. A memory, this is big. A memory is a, we're talking about emotional stuff, and we're going to get into some serious stuff just now. But emotions affect your memory, and they will affect your destiny. A memory is a record of the past, good or bad. Amen, would you agree? So every memory, this is important, every memory has an emotion attached to it. Everyone. Some good and some bad. Long-term memories are created from high emotional experiences. Short-term memories you can usually get over. It's not a big deal. But long-term memories, if you've got a long-term memory about something, it can be good, which is a wonderful thing. You had a wonderful holiday with all your family, or a birthday party, or for one of your kids. I'm not talking about that. I mean, that is a good thing. And it's a long-lasting memory. We remember that. But if you're dealing with something that happened a long time ago that is negative, it is something you have to look closely at. Some high emotional experience that you had at a particular time in your life. How are we dealing with that? And we're all challenged in these areas because these things happen. Life happens to us and we go through all kinds of stuff. How do we deal with these issues? You know, the Bible talks about be anxious for nothing. So God specifically thinks it's a big deal. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, that passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So he knows this is a big deal. Be anxious for nothing. That's a big statement, God says. In other words, he's saying, he's talking about this stuff here. You cannot let those things affect you, you know. Because if you start thinking about those past experiences and what they caused to you, you know, you'll start to get emotionally charged negatively. You'll start to get anxious. And you cannot afford to do that. So how do you remedy that? Well, with prayer and thanksgiving. Amen. Thanksgiving is always a massive thing until the peace of God comes on you. And you'll find that as you deal with them, they will dissipate. They will start to go. But if you don't deal with them, then that emotionally charged memory that was negative, if you don't deal with it, it'll come up. It'll always keep coming back. It'll come up in waves, in cycles. Something will spark it off. Amen. There was someone that didn't treat you very good years ago. Maybe it was a school teacher when you were at primary school. And you remember the incident. And then you will see someone in the street or whatever, and that person looks exactly like your teacher looked like 30, 40 years ago, and something could spark. It means you haven't properly dealt. And if that brings some kind of fear or something that is not good there, if you can deal with it, fine, it's not a big deal. But if there is something there and it's doing something to you, then it means that you haven't really dealt with that issue. So you just release forgiveness for whatever they've done. I mean, this is stuff that you know, right? But it's massive in terms of your health. So a memory is a record of the past, good or bad. Every memory has an emotion attached to it. Long-term memories are created from high emotional experiences. Some make you sad, some make you happy. Here's the point. I've said all that to say this. If your bad memories exceed your good ones, listen carefully to what I'm going to say. If your bad memories exceed your good ones, you will dwell in the past. You will be living in the past. If your bad memories exceed your good ones, then you're living in the past. And your destiny for the future will be affected. Amen. Because your whole being will go back to that thing. Amen. And you cannot get out of that past experience. So your whole being is basically in the past. You're thinking about that thing. Amen. And so you cannot go towards your future. And here's just a last thought before we get into, I want to have a time of ministry, but emotions are more powerful than thoughts. Emotions are more powerful than thoughts. Thinking about an incident is not as physiologically damaging is feeling the emotion of that incident. Amen. You must check that out as well. So you can think about something that happened, But make sure that it doesn't affect your emotions, that you get when you think about that incident, you know, you start getting all. You know what I'm saying? There's loads of people have these kind of problems. I mean, Christian people, you know, they had an incident in a lift, an elevator, you know, years ago. And so elevators are just stay away from. Some Christians don't get on. You know, a person in my church, fantastic young woman of God, she had an accident years ago in a car driving. It was a horrific accident. And this was probably 14 years ago. To this day, she's never driven a car again. And I'm very close to her. And, you know, we love her as a family. We minister to her. But that has not been overcome. That's a big problem. Amen. So she's got to get taxis and Ubers and trains and everything everywhere she goes. And she does a lot of work for the church. She'll volunteer to do stuff. And I'm thinking, man, if you had a car, that'd be so much easier. But she doesn't. So, and it goes back to that incident that she's never really been able to overcome, which is basically a fear. And I go into this a lot in the book. You know, if you can overcome, here's the big one. If you can overcome it, this is the biggest challenge. And it shouldn't be for Christians. But it's a major one that everything flows from. That if you and I can overcome the fear of death, I mean really overcome it. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm sure all of you in this room have, right? I don't want any hands up. But there's a lot of Christians who are not sure about death. But if death is something that you haven't eliminated completely, is a fearful thought, even in the slightest, it'll be a door for the enemy to bring in everything else. Amen? Come on now. Now, a lot of Christians have never got to that place where they've dealt with it. Fear is the big one. Everything flows from fear. And there's quite a bit in the book from that. But if you can overcome the fear of death, which is huge because God says, I'll give you eternal life, that when you die, you'll instantly be with me. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're not going to get through some big tunnel for 16 hours until you get there. You're going to get there automatically. Do you know what I'm saying? Come on now. God's not going to let you go through some kind of tunnel. You know, talking about the rapture of the church, but there's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, somewhere there. It talks about we'll be transformed or taken. And it basically says, in an instant, in an atom of time. Do you know what that means? It means a subdivisible fraction of time to the place where there is no time. There's no calculable time involved. Yes. So you're going to go up slowly. You're going to go through a tunnel, wondering where you're going, man. Do you know what I'm saying? People have weird ideas. You know, I mean, God wouldn't leave you. God wouldn't leave you for a microsecond not knowing what's going on, man. Do you know what I'm saying? Thanks for enthusiasm. It's great. Maybe I'll go to this side. No, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, these are real things. These are real issues. How many people are walking about in the body of Christ with fear? Fear of anything is because they haven't dealt with the fear of death. So every other fear will flow from it. Amen? Can I tell you a little story? Is that okay? Is that kind of... There was this... We had a guy in South Africa invited us. He's an actor kind of guy. His wife, and they had this house. And he invited Barbara and I for a meal. So it's a big old house. And so I drove there first. We went in separate cars because I'd usually to go for the early morning praise and worship stuff. So we go there and I get there first. And I open the gate, big old house. And I go around. Everything's quiet. And all of a sudden, three dogs coming towards me. I'm the only one there. And I saw a bin, you know, dustbin. You call them trash cans? We call them dustbins. It's funny, if we don't put dust in them, probably trash is better. So I run and I jumped on top of this trash can. And I'm standing there, man, and these dogs are yapping, trying to get to me. and stuff. And there I'm standing on top of this thing. And then I was there for about 10 minutes, which seemed like an hour. And eventually they come in, and they're the man of faith and power who leads the praise and worship. He's standing on top of the bin. And these dogs are yapping, 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 yapping. And so he pulls them down, and then I try and get my composure, and I come down. And so so it was an incident, right? It was an incident.
Right.
Only corgis. There were only small dogs. I have to say that. I have to give you the truth, man. just. But corgis can be dangerous because the Queen's got them. Queen Elizabeth, da, da, da. Do you know, I'm getting silly now. I better just quit. So, you know who Queen Elizabeth is, right? Yeah. So, of course you do. So, that's my queen. I know Trump loves her. This is great. So anyway, you know, I overcame that, I thought, until I went a walk. And I saw this big dog. And I thought, oh, gee, this dog's coming for me. And the dog wasn't, but I had to overcome that fear. And I remember saying, God, this is crazy. Three little corgis. And I'm dealing with something. You know, three little corgis. There's a rhyme in that. Three little corgis, and I'm dealing with something. I had to deal with that fear of, and it took a while to deal with the fear of dogs. And I grew up with dogs. I grew up with sheepdogs. We had sheepdogs in Scotland. And so I grew up with that, but it was an incident, and it took me a while to actually overcome that.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, I could have left it, but as soon as that dog appeared, and it wasn't gone for me, but I had to deal with the issue.
Right.
Amen. And I'm laboring the point, but I'm saying that there are issues in our lives that we've never actually dealt with, and we know that they're there. And we have to deal with them. Now, I'm going to close with this thought, and then I want to minister to some people. So identify emotional trauma symptoms, and some of this is in the book, but listen to this. Lingering memories from experience such as divorce, breakup of a relationship, death of a loved one, these cannot cause, oh, they're up there, are they? No. A humiliating experience, car accident, job loss are painful, and they might remain with you for a long time. Sexual or verbal abuse. I mean, this stuff is rampant in terms of emotional trauma. It is rampant. Violence, the threat or either of or witnessing something threatening in your childhood. Catastrophic events such as earthquakes, volcanoes, violence, war, urban terrorism, heart that doesn't seem to go away, frequent irritability, and easily frustrated, low tolerance towards others, easily angered. You're touchy, man. You're just touchy. Resentment from feeling being unfairly treated. Well, you know, she treated me bad. So, you know, I've got a problem with her. Well, you better get over that problem. Because it's affecting you, it's not affecting her. Amen. Your life is more important than her life from your point of view, right? So you have to release whatever it is. So you were disappointed. How many Christians are actually disappointed in God? You know? Well, God never came through. I was trusting God for this, for that, and the next thing. God never came. So we carry a disappointment with God. That's insane. Amen. That will emotionally kill you. And for some people, I believe that it has. If there's any level, God is never wrong. There is nothing he's ever going to do that's going to be not for your benefit. But some people carry that. Well, I'm disappointed. God never came through. Of course. No, no, no. It was you that never came through. And I wrote this down as well. I wanted to share this with you because let me read this to you. Didn't get healed, disappointed with God. If you're disappointed about a delayed outcome, then you further delay the outcome of the possibility coming into reality. You actually, by your attitude, you delay yourself. Amen. So there's a whole lot of these, and then I want to pray for some people here. Easily offended, you're oversensitive, you're unable to forgive easily. Guys, all of us, when we come into the body of Christ, we're targeted by these things. We are targeted by these things. The enemy knows he can get to us through these things because it's the way we've always lived in the old life. Difficult to receive compliments and love. Some people are just, there's a problem. They just can't receive, you know, hopelessness and fear of the future. How many Christians are fearful of the future because they're not peaceful in the present, like I explained to you? Susceptible to panic and anxiety attacks, detachment, fear, depression, isolation, bitterness, all of these things. So the point is this, that I'd like the music team to come up or whoever's left today. Because we want to deal with this, right? So if there's any of these things I have talked about that has been going on in your life, any of the things that I've talked about, and you know that you're subject to them, these have been bothering you, you cannot seem to overcome that, I'd like all of us to stand up right now. There's a couple of things we've got to do, and we're not going to keep you very long, but this is important. Is number one, we're going to acknowledge. I want you to, where you're sitting, if you can acknowledge with any of those, that list that I just read to you. If you say, you know, Tom, that's me, that's exactly where I'm at, then I want you to acknowledge that first. And then the second thing I want you to do, I want you to ask God for forgiveness. Can we do that? I was going to call you out. I don't think I will. But if you can relate to any of those areas, now if you don't, it's fine. But if you do, then I want you to say to God, God, I identify with that. That is a problem in my life. Please forgive me. Please forgive me for doing that, Lord. I release it right now in Jesus' name.